It's time for another episode of Rainmaker for Contractors. Interviews and success stories with million-dollar-plus basement waterproofing and foundation repair owners. Discover how they market and grow their companies in today's economy. Hear directly from the most successful leaders in your industry. With your host and Rainmaker for Contractors owner, Bill Crawford.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Rainmaker for Contractors podcast. Today, we have a super cool guest from the Seattle, Washington area, Joe Chumley from Chumley Structural and Foundation Repair. Joe, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit about your company and what you do?
Well, first off, I want to say we are from the Seattle area. We refer to it as like the greater Puget Sound region here in the Northwest. And our specific town of, where our shop location is a little town called Puyallup, which I'm not sure if you knew this, but is the only city, I believe I've been told, in the entire world that starts and ends with the letter P, and it is called Puyallup.
All right.
There you go.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing what you do?
Well, you know, I started business in 2011, though a specific niche with the foundation structural repair starting in 2019. So I guess you could say, you know, in terms of just general contracting work, this past, 12, 13 years. And my own personal experience goes back to where I started in the trades back in 2005.
Great. Awesome. Did I read you were, you built homes before and so on, like way bigger jobs and so on?
Yeah. And that was primarily what I started with, was framing, custom home framing, foundation work. Basically, it was a great way for me to kind of get a holistic approach and an understanding of, you know, building. And I think that's something that probably sets me apart from some other folks, where you can walk into a home and or get into a crawl space for that matter, and you can see the different building components, understand all the terminologies that go with those, and understand how that, as you change things in a crawl space or a foundation or basement for that matter, how that could have either positive or negative impacts on the other parts of the house.
Absolutely, for sure. In regarding foundation repair, can you tell us a little bit more about what types of different foundation repair you do?
Certainly. So to give you like a little bit of an idea as to like what our region looks like, because, I'm sure that once you get to, you know, east of the Mississippi, you probably have more of these things where, you know, we had some training with the Earth Contact products, actually, with our concentric peers there in Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of basements. And our area does have some basements, but primarily it's crawl space. And with that in mind, crawl spaces here are not like, 4 or 5 feet tall, where you can kind of hunch over and waddle your way through. A lot of the older buildings in our area require us to literally, it's army belly crawl, very tight spaces. Wow. And yeah, and so when I was talking with some of the guys at ECP, I was telling them like the conditions that we work within, and they're kind of like staring at us like you talk to a dog or something, like what are you, I don't understand that, you know. Yeah. You don't have basements everywhere. So yeah. If you took a section view of like, okay, 10 houses, I would say on average, maybe one, depending on the neighborhood, maybe 2 out of 10 have a basement. And wow. And so it's very limited on basement stuff, though they are. Here, it's just not as prevalent. So for us, a lot of things that we find in our area is that we have a very, a diverse amount of, or a high diversity in different soil compositions. So like the Midwest, you get a lot of issues because of clay soils. We do have that here, but because of the immense amount of rainfall that we get, what we find primarily is foundation issues are occurring because of poor drainage. Very rarely do you ever find a home here that has no gutters or downspouts. Like everything is being distributed and dispersed off the roof. But in some cases, it's being distributed really close to the side of the home. And so it starts washing away some of the sandy silt, We do have some glacier till and things, and occasionally we do have some clay soils. But for us, you know, most of our work revolves around, because of the tight clearances, a lot of the structural stuff, right? I mean, wood to dirt contact is very prevalent in our area. You know, there are some moisture area issues in crawl spaces here. You know, posts and piers, we have a lot of post and pier stuff where you have these little tiny, I mean, we work on homes that are like late 1800s, early 1900s. So, you know, the original builder used little stones to set posts upon. But I've come across homes. So one, here's an example out in a little town called Allen, Washington, out in the peninsula. And this thing was built in 1890.
Wow.
And, you know, what kind of equipment did they have back then when they were clearing the property? Do you think they had bulldozers? No. It was fallen huge trees. And so they built this cabin over the top. And I am not exaggerating here. The diameter of this tree had to be nearing 8 feet in diameter. Very huge tree. And they had no means of really digging it out, the root ball. And so they set fire to it. You could tell there's a bunch of charred marks on it where they try to burn it. Probably, you know, obviously unsuccessfully. And they built the house over the top of it. And so we come across those things. I mean, I could go on and on. We've seen quite a few different
items. It could have made a nice, beautiful kitchen table, a dining room table, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
People over.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, you know, you've been doing this for a while. You're very successful. I could see how people would want to buy from you. You seem like you really care about your company. Why are you successful and how are you different? I'm guessing there's quite a few foundation repair companies in the Seattle area or Washington area, really.
I think if we're going to focus on maybe it's because for us, I think I go in with more of a practical approach to things because I've seen so many different elements of building. I think that for our company, I really try to lead in with just a honest approach where I'm not trying to just upsell for the sake of upselling. And don't get me wrong, don't get it twisted. I do believe that good salesmanship equals good customer service and vice versa. It's true on both sides. So for good sure. Customer service means good salesmanship. But I think that to serve, to go in as a servant first and look at what the client really needs. Let me give you an example. We get quite a few of our jobs through real estate transactions. So basically, home inspector goes out, does an inspection on a potential home sale and says, hey, we have XYZ issues with the foundation. You need to have a foundation contractor look at this. Countless times, and I will not badmouth competition. I don't believe in that. I want to focus on what we do best.
Good for you.
My focus, though, is that, okay, let's say that there's a corner of the foundation and a part of that contract, Bill, is just an example. I'm selling my house to you. You have your home inspector say, this is the area of concern. We need to get this, you know, remedied and figured out. Well, if we have two or three small pillars inside the crawl space that need to be addressed, for me, I look at that is my work order. That is what I'm asked to come in and take a look at and address. What we have found is that we'll come in and just say, hey, here's what needs to happen with these specific ones. And that's a part of your contracted agreement. Then we're going to focus on that. Whereas other folks come in and we get it consistently. Well, why are you guys only quoting out this when this other contractor came in and quoted out entire stabilization of, you know, the entire earth practically. Mm. And, you know, their quote is magnitudes more expensive. You know, what are you guys missing? And what I like to do is be able to say, I am just coming to you from a standpoint of what was I asked to look at? And I want to be a person that is trustworthy and honest. And I'm not just trying to, what's the term, you know, aim for the fences.
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah, okay, maximize profit.
Sure.
You know, And so, but in the long term, I think that I am maximizing profit because I'm continuing to build trust and a reputation out in the community that, hey, Chumley's going to do you right. You know, he's an honest person. And, and that's, I feel like that's what sets us apart.
I like it. That's a great answer. Let me slightly push back on that, or just maybe give you more of an opportunity to how you'd respond to a different situation. Let's say you're called in to deal with three different peers or so on. And you recognize that they do need more, not from an upsell standpoint, but from a, oh my gosh, I can't touch this and leave your foundation like this, right? Isn't there another side where you can, you know, get the sale, but you're not doing the customer right by at least not saying, look, you've got to have five or six, but not the entire house.
100%. Okay. Just to give you an example, I had one up, up north. So when I say up north, I'm saying north of Seattle.
Sure.
And a little town called Linwood. Client buys a house and they say, well, home inspector found a few posts underneath the house that are affected by some water damage. Okay. And so I'm talking with this gentleman's wife and I'm, you know, is there anything more? Is there anything more? You know, just a few posts. Yeah, that's what the home inspector, they sent me a couple photos. I said, and I tell people this quite often, while I'm down there, I'm already under the house. I'm already geared up, respirator on, Tyvek suit. Like I'm ready for war. You know what I mean? Like I'm ready to go in. If I'm down there already, why would I not? Is that me dinging? I'm sorry. Anyway, why would I not already look around everything and see what's going on? So in this particular instance, I had probably 30 posts that were completely rotten.
Wow.
How the home inspector missed that, I don't know. And quite frankly, you know, those that may be watching or listening, they, you know, if you're in this industry,
you know how that works. Yeah.
Home inspector gets in, pokes around, takes three photos, gets the heck out of there.
Referred by the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so with this one, so there's 30 posts that are affected. There is a beam. I am not exaggerating on this either. I was able to just take my hand and just with probably, I feel like 10 pounds of pressure, just crunch it in my hand. And I was able to take a video of that, which, you know, now with smartphones is excellent with that.
Sure, sure.
And so, yeah, so there's an element of service with that where it's like, look, if I see something that's just so crazy above and beyond, then there's a difference. But when it comes to those real estate transactions, it's kind of like your hands are a little bit tied because if they have already agreed contractually to what the home inspector set forth, three posts, no more, no less, this is what you're doing. I feel like, okay, hey, there's a lot of other things going on here. And sometimes you can get into a house in our area built, let's say pre-World War II. And there are so many deficiencies that you're looking at it like, hey, where do I even start here? You know, and so in order to serve both parties and their understanding that that's what the expectation is, even if the home inspector took 100 pictures of other things, it's like, hey, I want to honor what you guys have requested. And if you want us to expound on that and we're coming in as a pre-inspection or something, I'm more than happy to, you know, kick the tires a little bit harder, if you know what I mean. But again, just going from a standpoint of like, I am not here to just try to aim for the fences and swing as hard as I can every single time.
You know, obviously, outside of the obvious core values that you just shared, let me throw a curveball at you. You know, I hear you saying our core values are to, you know, serve people and to be honest and to, you know, we care about our reputation and do what's right. Is there any other, you know, simple core values that you would add to the list I just shared?
Core value is something that, you know, we put up a lot of things in our shop, you know, maybe some motivational posters or things. I think when it comes down to the core value that matters most to me is even in 2023, people still want to go off of your word. They still want to feel trust when they deal with you. And so to me, I think that if I were to expound on that anymore, it's just like, I think we're starving as a culture too for people to just be upright, stand up people and stand behind what they do. And so I think another one is maybe admit when you're wrong and then fail your way to success, because every person on planet Earth has had some form of failure. And when you can kind of just have an element of humility and just say, hey, that's on me. Like I missed that. I didn't do that. Or, you know, I could have done it better. Okay, well then just own up to it, admit it, rectify it, and move forward. Yep. And, you know, so that would be something too. Fail your way to success.
I like it. That's awesome. Hey, what is there any services that you do now that maybe you didn't do 10 years ago?
Well, yeah, I mean, just going off the background, like I was sharing, you know, doing the stuff with my, you know, Chumley 1.0, if we want to call it that. It was, I had Chumley Construction, and we did a lot of, you know, remodels and additions and those types of things. So, you know, but, you know, maybe we could say within this last, you know, 4 or 5 years of doing this structural and foundation repair, you know, something that we really enjoy doing is these concentric push piers and stabilization and lifting homes. And that's a fun technology to incorporate into our business. And so that's definitely something that we're continuing to grow in.
Nice. It's awesome. How about this one? Do you have a story you could share that when the situation arose, you were thinking, oh my goodness, this is a total disaster. You couldn't see the light outside of the tunnel. But then as you look back, you realize, wow, that, you know, that whole situation made us a better company. We changed our system, whatever it is. You grew from that. Maybe you offered a new product or service. You have a story
So Bill, are you asking me to share a low light reel?
It turned into a highlight reel. Yes.
No, it's all right. Anybody that you ask that question to and they say, nope, never had that.
Oh.
I will say, if they were to say that, I could confidently say that they are not telling the truth. If you're in business long enough, you're going to have something go sideways. You're going to have something not turn out great. And so I think that in some aspects, like you're saying, you can use those for battering rams towards yourself or your employees. Let me lead in here real quick, because I think this will give a good understanding of where I come from that, and I'll get you a story.
Sure.
One of the first general contractors I worked for, I remember sitting around a conference table, and this was an extensive remodel up on Lake Taps. Budget was running tight, project was coming to a close, you know, not a real profitable job for this business owner that I was working for. And I remember, as you know, it was a small company too, and we sat around this conference table. He began to say some of the most vulgar names I've ever heard somebody call a homeowner. And I sat there, I think I was 20 years old, and I thought, if you talk like that about your customers, even the ones that are the most frustrating, unreasonable people, what kind of customer service are you really ever going to offer anybody? Because anybody can look great when things are going good. Anybody, any business can look great when the statements are, you know, looking great and the bank accounts are full. But who are you like, and what are you like when things are not going great? And I remember taking that, and it just planted a seed in my brain. And I'm like, man, I don't want to be that guy.
Sure.
So fast forward, 20, man, this was last year. And complete transparency, there have been a handful over the years. I mean, there have been.
Yeah, everyone has.
But one that jumps out, you know, we're doing this carbon fiber job in a basement. And, you know, we're going through, you know, applying stuff, having to grind some things. And it was just a good amount of dust. The homeowner continued to have the furnace running, which then broadcast dust throughout the house.
Sure.
Very, very upset. I mean, you know, he was super reasonable. His wife was very reasonable. They were reasonable people. I just felt bad, you know, and so... Sure, to the tune of thousands of dollars of, you know, professional cleaning and you know, duct cleaning, et cetera, et cetera. It was a very hard pill to swallow. I did not like that. And yet at the very end, he said, "We are so thankful that we did go with you. And I'm glad I trusted my gut because you have stood behind everything and you've done everything you said you're going to do. You made this completely right. And you absolutely deserve a 5-star review for that."
Beautiful.
And so it's like, okay, well, if nothing else, people go to the marketplace and they want to say, yeah, I would love to have a project go stress-free, worry-free, mistake-free, whatever. But let me remind the listener or the viewer of this, we're all human beings. And so we try to do our best to mitigate those things, but things do happen. Absolutely. And so when people hear those stories, they're like, okay, well, even if something went sideways, this person isn't just going to bail. Because Bill, you've heard those stories. People just bail. I can't get a hold of them, stopped returning my calls.
Sure.
You know, they still have my money or whatever that is. And I want to lay my head down at night and feel good about what we do every day. And
oh, absolutely. If I see him in town, I don't want to run across the other side of the street so I don't pass him, right?
Yeah. There you go.
I want to be able to say, how's that job working for you? Yeah.
Yeah. So we took that lesson from that time. And it's like, hey, every time we have something inside of like that type of space and the furnace is located in a nearby adjacent room, it's like, homeowner's responsible to turn that off. Very, very clear expectations. Like, this is a dusty project. We are putting up masking and things, but it's not a complete 100% dust-free process. You know, just a beating the drum of continued expectation communication. Because when you can do that, then the homeowner is already expecting, all right, it's my responsibility to make sure these things are turned off and that there's going to be probably some cleaning and stuff that I need to do on my own behalf because the contractor is not factoring any of that sort of stuff in. They're making a good faith effort. And so we're like, hey, what kind of zip poles, what kind of plastic sheeting, what kind of masking tape, what kind of floor protectant, et cetera, need to go into that sort of thing. So, yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes only the hard way. It was good to hear that you did the right thing and got a 5-star review. You know, I think people underestimate how much a bad review costs their company. I think people 90% are reading reviews and they're not even calling for an estimate. You know, why bother? Why risk it when so many other people have great reviews? Hey, Joe, wrapping up, if someone were to be getting into the foundation repair business, what advice would you have for them if they're just starting out?
My advice would be, the story goes, my mom and my grandmother joke about this fairly frequently, is that, you know, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur by about age 5.
Nice.
they have this funny story, I won't go into it, but evidently I just knew I wanted to do that. This lifestyle, this business is not for the faint of heart. It has a lot of upside and it has some sacrifice. And I think that if I was telling somebody that was looking to get into really business in general, but specifically this industry, is like, you need to understand that it's going to cost you a lot more than you want to pay. It's going to require more time than you think you'd want to put into it. And that there is sacrifice. But once you get established, once you get your roots down in, once you're able to kind of get yourself blooming and blossoming, it's like, well, over time, it takes less effort. Over time, it takes less, you know, of those types of things. But life is at times a struggle. And so if you are not one that can handle adversity, or you have a, I'm just going to quit, give up, and walk away really easily, this is not the industry or the business for you. There's a lot of complex problems, and that's why people are hiring you. They want to find a problem solver, not a problem finder. Because if you can find problems everywhere in business, everywhere in life, you know, and you're going to be not, I think, as successful as somebody saying, we have a set of problems. I may not have the answer to every single one, but I'm going to figure it out. And I'm just going to keep putting, as we've all heard it time and time again, but it's so true. I'll just keep putting one foot in front of the other. This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. Good, healthy businesses take years to develop. And you don't want to just be a flash in the pan where you're here for a year or two and you're out of business and bankrupt after that. So it takes time and it takes some steadfastness with it.
Really well said. Business ownership is definitely not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not.
That's great. Appreciate that. Hey, Joe, thanks so much for being a guest on our podcast. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bill.
You've been listening to the Rainmaker for Contractors podcast, where basement waterproofing and foundation repair business owners and industry experts share marketing and sales information that helps you reach more customers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform and get all of our show notes at rainmakerforcontractors.com/podcast.